Good morning. This is Alice Goodman from Riva, filling in for Gillian this morning. Originally, when I accepted to do the service today, Gillian and James were planning to be on holiday. But then COVID-19 came, and James got it, and then Gillian seems to have it now. So I'm very happy to be filling in this morning, but for sad reasons. And our thoughts and prayers will go out to you both, James and Gillian, today, that you will have a quick recovery. Let us gather ourselves together, our thoughts, and prepare ourselves to worship God. The call to worship comes from Psalm 16. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely, I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Let us sing together. If you have the sheet from Gillian, you can follow along with some of the words. The hymn is number 413, The Day of Resurrection. The words are, the first and last verses are, The day of resurrection, earth, tell it out abroad, the Passover of gladness, the Passover of God. From death to life eternal, from earth unto the sky, our Christ hath brought us victory, our hymns of victory. Now let the heavens be joyful, let earth the song begin, let the round world keep triumph and all that there is in. Let all things seen and unseen, their notes be gladness blend. For Christ the Lord hath risen, our joy that hath no end. Let us sing. Let's continue our worship with the prayers of approach, the confession, and the Lord's Prayer. If you have the outline of today's service in front of you, please join in with me for the part written by Barbara Glasson, which is in italics, and then finishing with the Lord's Prayer using your favorite words. Let us pray. Merciful and gracious God, we come together in this space, a church, your church, physically separated but spiritually bound to you and to each other. We come together to make ourselves available to you, to your word, to your way, to your voice. Speak to us during this time of worship. Open our hearts to you. Breathe anew your spirit on us as we worship and praise your name. God of forgiveness, we draw close to you. We become aware of our failures, where we have let you down, where we have let fear have the last word directing our actions and words, where our pride and self-centeredness pushed away humility and generosity. For any and all ways that we have failed to follow Jesus' example of living generous and abundant lives, we ask for your forgiveness. For we are not people of fear. We are people of courage. We are not people who protect our own safety. We are people who protect our neighbor's safety. We are not people of greed. We are people of generosity. We are your people, God, giving and loving, wherever we are, whatever it costs, and for as long as it takes, wherever you call us. Amen. Now let's say together the Lord's Prayer in our favorite words. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This week I had a very interesting experience where on Holy Saturday I attended a Zoom meeting with Sabil. Sabil is an organization in Israel-Palestine. It works for peace. And on Holy Saturday they had a Zoom worship meeting, and there were more than 500 people who attended. And during the worship, there was a moment where we said the Lord's Prayer together, and everyone, all 500 people, they opened the mics, all 500 people said the Lord's Prayer together, and you can just hear the noise of all the different languages from all over the world saying the Lord's Prayer together. And I thought, this must be what God hears when we pray, when people pour out their hearts and their fears and their desires and their thanks and saying sorry, all in their own languages, and God listens. And how happy God must be to hear all of this. Also, this past week, one of the prayer requests that Gillian sent around really jumped off the page for me. It was, please pray for the newly transformed landscape which will be created post-COVID-19, and especially for our renewed relationship with Mother Earth, our animal kingdom, and all that nature has to offer. So, during this time where our lives have really changed significantly, there's many things, many positive aspects, many sides to it that are life-giving. And one of, for me, is that I've seen my neighbors more in the last few weeks than I usually do over an entire year, because Tim and I are working at home. And I've also become more aware of the bird song in the morning, and I've noticed more of the buds coming out on the trees and the lengthening of the days. And so there's this new connection. I feel like maybe people are making a new connection back to experiencing Mother Earth, experiencing nature. And could this renewed shock of human fragility and vulnerability in the face of COVID-19 make way for an increased willingness to face other perils together, like the climate change? And so as we inch back to a renewed normal, it has never been more important to keep up the pressure to do things differently, to make environmentally favorable choices in our activities and buying, because there's no exit strategy for our planet. And so I've been thinking about that this week, and I hope that we together can actually make a step in that direction. And that led me to thinking about the Rainbow Song, that's hymn 143, Who Put the Colors in the Rainbow? And I thought that would be appropriate to include today for worship. And as the printable, I have two printables for those who like to color and those who like to search for words. And one is of the rainbow for coloring. And I thought anyone who likes coloring could also color in some of the animals that are going to normally sing together in this song. But I'll read the words and pick out your favorite animals that you would like to color under your rainbow or above your rainbow. So, who put the colors in the rainbow? Who put the salt in the sea? Who put the cold in the snowflake? Who made you and me? Who put the hump upon the camel? Who put the neck on the giraffe? Who put the tail upon the monkey? Who made the hyena laugh? Who made whales and snails and quails? Who made hogs and dogs and frogs? Who made bats and rats and cats? Who made everything? Who put the gold in the sunshine? Who put the sparkle in the stars? Who put the silver in the moonlight? Who made Earth and Mars? Who put the scent into the roses? Who taught the honeybee to dance? Who put the tree inside the acorn? It surely can't be chance. Who made seas and leaves and trees? Who made snow and winds that blow? Who made streams and rivers flow? God made all these things. Enjoy.
The first reading is from 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The second reading comes from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and sighed. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, My Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Amen.
In preparation for the message, let's continue our worship by singing together the hymn. It's on page 608, and it's called Spirit of Truth and Grace. The first and last verses are, Spirit of Truth and Grace, come to us in this place, as now in Jesus' name God's people gather. Open our eyes to see truths that will ever be, and in communion draw us close together. Spirit of life and power, revive us in this hour and stir our hearts to praise with true devotion. Fill us with heavenly fire and every heart inspire that we may serve the world with your compassion. Amen. Let us pray. Spirit of truth and grace, Spirit of joy and peace, Spirit of life and power, open our eyes to see truths that will ever be. Be within us in our thoughts and these words to glorify your name. Amen. I was struck by the parallels and relevance found in today's lectionary passage in John. A passage that takes place on Easter evening. What a day it was! They heard that their friend, teacher, and master, who had spoken of the coming kingdom of God, with whom they had spent the last 3 years of their lives, who they saw arrested and was confirmed as crucified and dead, was alive. Mary saw him, spoke to him. A few disciples ran to the grave and found it empty. What were they to do? They had abandoned Jesus at the end, ran away and hid. Their dreams were crushed, 3 years wasted. They had fallen into a deep despair and hopelessness. And now he was alive? As much as they would like the news to be true, how could it be? The Romans and the Jewish authorities will think that they stole the body from the tomb. Maybe they would come after them as well. They sought each other out for comfort and support, locked themselves up secretly in a room to try to determine what to do. And then he's there. Jesus is there with them. Peace be with you, he says. Can you hear the gasps? Maybe cries of surprise? They jumped. Was he real? Peace be with you was used as a common greeting. I think Jesus meant it that way the first time. A simple hello and wish, a good wish. Jesus had come to be with them and reassure them. This moment is beautiful and intimate. Jesus is caring for his disciples whom he loves so much, giving them what they need that day. These are the same disciples who ran away, who denied knowing him. One might think that Jesus would have been disappointed in them and instead of greeting them with peace be with you, but would start with a rebuke like, where were you when I needed you? How dare you abandon me? But no, he comes. He wishes them peace and then lovingly shows them his wounds to prove that it really is him. He was dead and he's now alive. Even a week later, when he appears to them again, he doesn't say to Thomas, hey, where were you last week? I don't need to prove myself to you. How dare you doubt? No, he's patient and loving and kind to Thomas as well, understanding his doubt while reinforcing again what he said the previous week to the others. We can be sure that when we have moments of doubt, Jesus is also patient, loving, and kind to us. Going back to the first part of the passage, of course they are overjoyed when they see him, and the profound truth of what this means is just starting to become apparent to them. And Jesus says again, peace be with you. Since he had already greeted them, there was no longer a social etiquette reason to say it again. And if something is repeated in the Bible, it is often to draw attention to it. So why is Jesus saying it again here? I believe it is to emphasize in a different way the meaning of the words. This was no longer a greeting, but it was a blessing. He was imparting on them the gift of peace and then sealing it with breathing the Holy Spirit on them, which is a reminder of God breathing life into Adam in Genesis, and also a glimpse of what is to come later on Pentecost. This was the gift of peace, which surpasses all understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, the peace that Paul refers to in Philippians. This is the kind of peace that comes in the midst of turmoil and fear. This is the peace that comes when we trust God to keep his promises, to care for us, to love us, to accept us, to recognize us as his children, and that we are part of his plan of salvation. This is a peace found when we are right with ourselves, with God, and with others. This is the peace found when we forgive, breaking the poisonous power of resentment and revenge. This is the peace illustrated in the most powerful way by Jesus' resurrection. All of humanity ever born through his death and resurrection was now at peace with God. The work was accomplished. Jesus says to his disciples and to us, peace be with you, and asks them and us to receive his Holy Spirit. Today, we may feel locked in a room because of COVID-19. We fear being infected. We fear infecting others. We fear losing our paycheck and maybe even our job. Some fear isolation and loneliness. Others fear losing their tempers and sanity because they no longer have any personal space, no place to think. Many young parents trying to work from home with kids who need their attention 24/7. We fear the future economic consequences of locking down for so long on ourselves, our friends, and family. Some are very ill and fearing for their lives or the lives of loved ones. And the isolation escalates, especially for our seniors and those who are infected because they no longer can receive touch, no hugs or kisses from grandchildren, no gentle touches on the arm from friends. No longer can we safely hold the hand of a loved one who's infected with the virus. Touch is so important. And I think Jesus confirms that too in this passage when he invites Thomas to touch his wounds, to see and believe. We are made so that touch is a very important aspect of being human and expressing our feelings. Have you ever noticed how much better it feels when someone else rubs your feet than rubbing your own feet? We are made to live together in physical community. When we can't, the isolation, can become unhealthy. Into our locked room, into this time of isolation, Christ comes and says, "Peace be with you." As he said earlier in the book of John about peace, "It's peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Christ's peace drives out fear and brings health and hope. His peace lets us breathe again. And as we breathe, we can breathe in his Holy Spirit that he asks us to receive. We just need to breathe it in, to be replenished, to be recreated, rejuvenated, which remakes us from the inside out. We can experience this peace because God keeps his promises. As Peter writes in this morning's passage, "In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into this inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until coming, the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time." We have an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade, because through the power of the resurrection, the power of death was destroyed, which gives us hope, hope of eternal life, hope that justice and love will have the last word, hope that each one of us is in the palm of God's hand and nothing can snatch us away from his love and care for us. Jesus enters and says to you and me today in our isolation and in the locked rooms of our hearts, "Peace be with you," and "Receive the Holy Spirit." Let's sit for a moment and I'll take a few deep breaths, inviting the Spirit to fill us. Let's close together the prayer that Gillian sent out to us during the Holy Week. Jesus, our dead and living friend, we walk the ways of death and life, holding fear in one hand and courage in the other. Come find us when we are locked away. Come enliven us. Come bless us with your peace. Because you are the first day of creation and all days of creation. Amen. Offering, but obviously that's impossible to do since we're not all together. But what we could do is put aside each week something that we could offer when we come back to church, when we're all back together. Or we can investigate how other ways, like online banking, where we can continue supporting Scott's Kirk during this time of isolation. In any case, in addition to our monetary giving, we can offer today ourselves and our time and our talent to God. Let us pray. God of all people, accept our offerings. Of ourselves, we rededicated to witness to your message of love to all peoples. Accept our offering of our worldly goods, given in love and faith, that it might be used to bring your kingdom about in this world. And for the sake of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, amen.
Let us pray. Dear God, in this time of turmoil, we come to you somewhat confused. We feel joy with your coming at Easter. We feel doubt about your presence in our current disruption. We feel faith that you are keeping us safe. And we feel hope that we may soon be able to leave our homes and start to gather again. We offer our prayers for those whom we trust will be fed by your goodness, who will be nourished by your presence. We pray for those feeling isolated, for those concerned about having money to feed their families and keep their businesses going, for teachers who have worked extra hard to prepare virtual lessons, for parents who have played many additional roles, including teacher, playmate, and friend, and for ministers who have been called to support us spiritually in this difficult time. We pray for those who are of poor health, where pain is a daily reality, where frailty causes bodies to falter. Lord, give healing, give comfort, give perseverance. We pray for those who mourn lives that have been lost, long lives well lived, which have come to an end, and lives which had still much promise and feel to us to have ended far too soon. We trust each life to you, saving God, and we trust that each soul finds home in your eternal love. But for those who mourn, who know any loss, give comfort, give reassurance, give your gentle presence in the lives of us still living. And we pray for all those who are growing and preparing for the future, whose growth may have been slowed momentarily. Give them courage to continue, even when they face new and unusual obstacles each day. We lift all of these things to you now, offering the prayers of our own hearts, trusting them to you in a moment of quietness. Now that the doors are preparing to open, let us prepare our hearts to re-enter the world with new ideas and a new perspective. Help us to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing we may have life in his name. In all our prayers, we pray trusting in your sure and certain promise, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let's close our worship today with our last hymn. It's called Look Forward in Faith. The first and last verses are, Look forward in faith. All time is in God's hand. Walk humbly with him and trust his future plan. God has wisely led his people by his power. Look forward in hope. He gives us each new hour. Look forward in faith. God gives us life each day. Go onward with Christ. His Spirit guides our way. Now God lets us live within the sphere of grace. Trust ever in him. He rules over earth and space. For today's benediction, I have chosen a short version of St. Patrick's breastplate. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. Know that Christ is with you. He offers you his peace and his spirit. Go now and live in that peace. Amen.